Okay, this student call this evening is kind of a free-for-all, but it's focused on how to start or manage a feng shui business. Dr. Catherine Morris is going to facilitate for us. Sylvia Watson, one of our feng shui masters in the school, and myself will be answering the questions. And please feel free, any of you, to throw out an experience that you've had that might help someone else on the phone, and then we'll have some dialogue at the end just to see if there's any other questions that we may have to schedule a second call focused on business. And then we'll continue to do these calls touching on different types of topics throughout the year and next year. And all of the calls will be recorded. And if I have international students that are in another country that want to be on, we might end up doing it on Zoom because we have one student that's in, or one graduate that's in Australia that can come on at 10 o'clock in the morning a day and a half ahead of us. So, so with that said, I'm going to turn the facilitation over to Catherine Morris. And I'm just going to do the techie stuff, so in case we have a problem. So it's all yours, Catherine.
Okay, hi. So my name's Catherine Morris, and I'm a psychologist who is also a graduate, feng shui graduate of the Pyramid School. And Connie and Sylvia have been my dear teachers and guides through the process and afterwards. And so I have periodic calls over the years with Sylvia, and Sylvia happened to mention that she was talking to Jamie, a new young student in the program, I guess graduate now, and we were talking about, you know, what it's like starting out in a feng shui business, and so I reached out to Jamie, and we were talking, and I could relate to her questions, you know, like, okay, I am trained, but what about this? What about that? And I thought, well, you know what? Beginner's questions are usually great questions, not just for the beginners, but for everybody. Like Sylvia's coming back into the feng shui world, and so she shared that she had interest in questions that she wouldn't have had a number of years ago when she was busier in her feng shui practice. So Connie, being the dynamic person that she is, decided to reach out to everybody in the community, in the Pyramid School community, and find out what your questions are, what issues and questions do you have, and we're going to collect the questions and have people who have answers for them or ideas about them share so that we really develop a knowledge base and we also develop a community. We hear each other's names and voices and we have particular people we resonate with or have questions of, you know, we can connect up individually as well. And I welcome Connie jumping in, Sylvia jumping in at any point as well. So we have a number of questions that we've collected. So Connie said, so there's a question from Rose in Brazil. Could you please talk about the necessary preparation for consulting, like physical, emotional, educational, and ethical preparation for feng shui consulting? So what I'll do is I'll put out a question at a time and just see what kinds of answers emerge.
Sure. I think that's a great idea, Catherine. This is Sylvia. I'll go ahead and start. I think knowing Rose, and since you would be starting your feng shui business, I think what you'll find is I did and Connie did and others on the phone who have been practicing for years also, is that eventually you'll start developing your own procedure to prepare for a feng shui consultation. So that part the pre-consultation period really has to do with, well, the way I handle it is after I have set up the appointment, I've talked to the client, and I've collected the feng shui questionnaire that I've sent to the client so that I do have good knowledge of their situation and what their issues or their three wishes are. So I have a good grasp, and that's important to me as a consultant, is that I've talked to the individual, I've gone over the consultation, I have to feel comfortable that I have a good knowledge of the situation even before I go to the home. Fortunately, I've always been able to send out email the consultation questionnaire, and I've been fortunate in that the clients complete the questionnaire and send it back to me. So that does give me time to prepare. So when I do go there, I have some knowledge and familiarity with this client. It's much easier for me to enter the consultation with that relationship already started to be built. So that's very important to me. So I'll also talk about what I wear. You know, I might have jeans or capris on at home and a T-shirt. I'm going to dress professionally for the consultation. I also have my business cards ready so that when they greet me at the door and I come in, I have a business card in my hand that I'm able to provide to the client, because I do want to present myself as a professional. And I think that goes a long way for our profession. So I always meditate before I go to a consultation, just to make sure that I have good intentions and working in the best interest of the client and that I'm guided. So that's basically how I prepare. That doesn't go into how I'm going to do the consultation. So, Rose, if you need any other information that I didn't cover, and I'm sure others can share with you what they may do that's different from what I shared.
Okay, thank you. I think on this, if I may step in here, this question I think is going to be it's going to take a while to answer all of these questions because this is a whole call in itself. But if I would add to what Sylvia's already said, educational background, for instance, it's not just what you know about feng shui. It's not just about what you know about yourself, but it's what you know about people in general in terms of how do you read this person in their space. And that in itself is a call all by itself, but I will tell you that if you understand, if you can read body language, eye movement, I even have studied handwriting analysis, eye movements, I've studied everything. Because I can walk in and read a person in their space, and I can tell if they're nervous or if they're anxious or if they want to really pour out their heart. I'm ready, so that's how I know what questions to ask when. It's not something that you learn overnight. It's taken me years to perfect what I know in practice. We talked about on a student call a couple months ago, I think it was in June, about the woman who filled out the questionnaire, but she didn't give me any answers I could work with. They were all generic. Anybody could have filled that questionnaire out with those answers, but I watched her body movements, I watched her eye movements, and I told her that I can't work with what she gave me because she's not telling me everything I need to know. And when she finally did share that she lived in a home where there was an alcoholic, that changed everything in the consultation that I was prepared to do. So I would start with physically you need to understand how colors affect the muscles and affect the state of mind. That's why we're changing. I want to try to get away from the pyramid school as our what we're known for, because we are very scientific now. I've already moving towards changing the curriculum, even though it's still going to be feng shui, the science is going to be laced throughout it from day one. Because if you cannot read your client well enough and they don't give you the right answers, you're not going to be able to make the right recommendations. So this question is going to become a course. Thank you, Rose. So I'm not going to spend any more time on that, but just know that we are going to cover that, and I really appreciate your posing that as something that we need to address more heavily. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Thank you, Connie. Yes. Anybody else? What do you do to prepare for a consultation physically, emotionally, educationally, or ethically?
Catherine, this is Sylvia again. I'm just going to mention that the International Feng Shui Guild, they can go right on the websites, right on their page. It's for the general public to see. They do have a code of ethics that gives guidelines for the client that you're supposed to abide by. Education and training, they want you to have, so to speak, under your belt. You have to have professional integrity, and it goes into a lot of detail about these things. If possible, participate in service projects, and there's laws, regulations, and codes in your jurisdiction that you have to abide by. So, Connie, I think it might be a good idea for us to kind of talk to the Guild to see if, it's something that we could craft for FSIA also.
Okay.
Well, everything that Rose asked is right there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
And,
oh, really?
And maybe either of you can just, if people don't know what the International Feng Shui Guild is.
Well, I think Sylvia would be the appropriate person to answer that question because she served on the education committee, and so she has a really in-depth background there.
Right. Okay.
It's basically
kind of a one sentence. It's the world's most inclusive professional feng shui organization. So it's the largest professional organization of feng shui consultants in the world. And it's a site. They have a website that the public can use and also for professionals.
It's a trade association, if that helps
it
you
is.
Understand.
It's okay. A trade association. That's correct.
And the dues are pretty reasonable for members. What are they,
125 or 120?
Yeah, 125 or so.
A year.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that.
And it's an opportunity to learn from one another. There's a private Facebook group that they have. They have calls once a month, educational calls that are included in your membership. Mm-hmm. And they have a newsletter, and you can contribute to the newsletter, as Jamie has. And I'm sure others of you have. I don't know all of you. But it's, a nice professional component to add to your feng shui learning and business.
And it's also good when you're – I know when Nancy Lee first founded the Feng Shui Institute of America, she really did not want us to go off in the deep end and start learning about all the other approaches. But here's what happens if you don't know. And the International Feng Shui Guild will give you that opportunity to learn about the other schools. So you can blend the different approaches depending on what your client is expecting too. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to feel like you can't study the other schools because a lot of that information is very important to understand. It could help you out sometimes, especially when you're doing something with a garden or you have to do dowsing. Those are where you can learn all that information. So
yeah, it's very important.
I encourage you to blend. But know the science. If you know the science and you can read your person in the place, the extra information you get from the International Feng Shui Guild is only going to make you more powerful as a consultant.
And I also think, Connie, it's important to tell them that the Feng Shui Institute of America has the gold school designation by the International Feng Shui Guild.
Yeah, I take that for granted sometimes because and that means that anyone who enrolls in a gold school through the is in a school that is sanctioned by the International Feng Shui Guild, and they can be sure that they're going to get a quality education.
All right, great. Any other folks have comments or thoughts about preparing for a consultation? I have an interesting share about preparing for consultations, and it may be peculiar to me, but I think it's worth paying attention to. I mean, certainly we've been trained that you pay attention to what your experience is like en route to a consultation. Is it hard to find? Are you getting lost? Is there potholes in the road? You know, what are you passing? What are you looking at? But this kind of precedes that. I was going to do a consult at a psychiatrist's office. I didn't know the psychiatrist at all, knew nothing about him. And I was staring at my clothes closet, and I was looking at wearing exercise clothes. Now, I'm a psychologist. I dress professionally all the time. That's not an issue. I actually like getting dressed up. But I was really struggling with myself, saying, gee, I really want to wear exercise clothes. And I thought, that's really strange. You know, no, you're not going to wear exercise clothes. So anyway, put on my professional clothes, and I went to his office. And the first thing I see in his office is a big exercise ball, you know, the big giant ones that you lay on and roll over. And then as we proceeded the consultation and he showed me what was in his drawers, et cetera, in two of his desk file drawers he had exercise clothes. And his office looked out a window, and it looked to the exercise studio next door. So I couldn't have known that was related, but the point is, and that's one of many instances. Another one, I wore a very unusual colored plum shirt, and I got to the consultation, and the carpet was wall-to-wall plum colored, like it matched the shirt identically. Another one where I was going to be very early for the consultation, I ended up behind a garbage truck, stuck for like 10 minutes, and I just got there on time. And it turns out that, this is another psychiatrist, turns out that she said, oh, my big issue is I'm always running late. So, you know, for whatever it's worth, there's information that might be coming to you, coming to me, before you get to the consultation. And it may seem quirky, like my examples, but I'm sure we're getting other information too. Okay,
that's interesting that you would say that, Catherine, because that's one of the things about if you're really prepared and you work with your meditation, as Sylvie said, mm-hmm. your intuition's going to kick in. So mm-hmm. Don't doubt that it won't.
Yeah, yeah. So just notice, you know, what pops up. So now we have the next question is from Michaeline, and she asked about writing a book or getting her ideas down and dispersed. She lives in rural America and doesn't have clients at this point, but loves feng shui and uses it in her daily life. So would like to address that.
She's not on the call this evening because she's reading a book on how to write a book.
I appreciate that question. Well, this is Beth Gady because
yes.
I'm interested in that as well. So thank you for still addressing it.
May I reply to that?
Oh, of course. This is open open session.
Yeah, I think what she would need to do is start a blog and mm-hmm. start writing her stories rather than a book. And then the stories become her chapters. And then she's got hopefully a following. And then she turns that into either an ebook or a book. That's what I would suggest to her. Get a blog.
Well, she will be listening to this call later.
Okay.
So thank
mm-hmm.
you, Janet, for that information.
Excellent. Sure. Okay. Anybody else?
I just would like to say that Hay House right now is starting their, they have a free course going on right now about So you want to write a book, and it is so good. I have listened to it a couple times over the past year, and it's worth every penny to listen to it. And if you want to write a book, they will guide you, and they will publish it if they want, if they like it.
Oh, nice. That's a great resource.
Now, there is a, there
yeah,
is a small
that is a good resource.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a great resource.
Okay.
So.
All right. And the blog can be used as a newsletter, or the blog can be, you know, republished, for instance, if you can submit it to the Guild, so, or put it on Facebook, social media. So there's a lot that you can do, or have it, you know, printed out if you give materials to a client when you go to their to the consultation. So, yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we have questions. Connie, do you want me to do your questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't think they were mine. I just put everybody else's questions on there.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. So
is Barbara on? Did Barbara Brisky get on? I guess not. Okay. She's not on yet. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So the question was, how do I set up my website?
Okay. I guess that's the one I better answer. Okay. Here's what I want everybody to understand. A website, if this is different than a blog, a website, the most important thing for a website is your home page, because that's as far as anybody gets on a website. You can have 10 or 20 pages, but nobody's going to go past the first page. If they see what they want, you got a link for them to sign up or to purchase something or go to purchase something. That's as far as you're going to go, except to that link if they want to enroll in a course or they want to enroll in your website. All the other pages are really nonsense. I'm not kidding. I have spent all kinds of time with the University of Florida going through a certification on this. And if you want to really learn what a website really should be, there's a lot of free information online. Mech Labs is one of them.
How do you spell that?
M-E-C. I was getting ready to spell it. M-E-C.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Mech Labs. That's it. .com. A lot of free information. And they do, most of they work a lot with different types of businesses, big business, small business, and the learning management system platform that the school is on. The company that I subscribe to is Rainmaker, and they actually did Rainmaker's analysis. But Mech Labs is a good, it's just a good site to be on their email list. They might eventually, you know, they'll send you information about, would you like to have your website analyzed? But you have to have some sophisticated back-end stuff for them to analyze your website. So don't worry about that. Just learn about what they're teaching you. Marketing Experiment is owned by the same people. And they have been around. Janet, you and I have been in and out of that site so many times. That's where it all started 20 years ago. information out.
Okay, Marketing Experiment, is that a website or a resource?
It's a website with research.
Okay.
Millions and millions of dollars of research with companies.
Oh, wonderful.
That's why it doesn't make any sense to try to make beautiful web pages after page one, because you can you really need your home page, a landing page for whatever it is, each thing that you're selling, and then you don't want them all to be accessible to the person looking through your website, because you want them to learn about you and learn about what you can teach them, so that you keep them as a client, or a subscriber. It's like a membership site you're setting up. So just know that your content has to be hypnotic, and I will talk about that later about what hypnotic websites are. But just know your first page is the most important.
Okay, great.
And that's all I'm
going to
say right now. So.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
And then here's a big question. What should I charge? Unless somebody else had a website input. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody
off.
That's
okay. You go ahead and say, I'm terrible with that. So go ahead. And then I'll give you my answer.
Does anyone else
this
have?
This is Diane.
Diane?
This
okay.
Diane. Yeah, I'm sorry, Connie, I didn't get. Is it N, E, C, or M?
M is in mother.
Mother,
E is
okay.
In Edward. Yeah, C is in cat. I'm sorry.
L-A-B.
MechLabs.com.
Okay.
All one word. Yeah, got it.
Lab
okay.
With an S?
Lab, L-A-B, like laboratory.
.com. Okay, and the other one was?
Was marketing experiments.
Experiments with an S?
Yes, with an S, .com.
Okay, thank
and
you.
I'm going to put all this on the group Facebook, so you'll have it'll all be there.
Great.
So if you didn't catch something, but
thank you.
Somebody
okay.
Asked, okay, we're talking about what to charge. Every region of the United States is different. Las Vegas, you can go pretty high. California, if you do something for less than $1,000, they don't even call you. So, I mean, why bother? Because people there are used to spending big. You get into the Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, you can't charge $1,000 for a consultation unless you have been around 20 years, you're a master, and you've got a record. It you could, over a period of time, like Sylvie and I have done, we have chopped up a consultation. This is phase one. You know, we might charge $400. Well, this is phase two, so now we got another $400. And then you can continue for a year, and you might make $1,200 from this client. That's how you make it in the Midwest. So in California, they just want the answer now. They want it to happen, and they'll give you the check, and on they go. So, but and in Florida, I would say, depending on what part of the state, maybe you could get away with something like with they do what they do in California. Depends on where you are. But normally they're like the Midwest as well. New York is like California. They'll pay up to, I mean, I have heard stories where they pay up to $20,000 for a Chinese feng shui master to come and do a building or a tower or a condo. So, Sylvia, do you have anything to add to that? Because we've done things together, Sylvia and I have, and we do things separately. So it, you know,
well,
it depends.
Well, I offered two or three different types of consultations, so allowed somebody on a tight budget. The lowest I have gone for a two-hour consultation is $350. In the last couple of years, I've done a couple $2,500 consultations. That used to be more common 10 years ago. However, it does depend on you yourself as a feng shui professional, how you promote yourself, how well-known you are, how many referrals you get. So if you build your reputation as a really good feng shui practitioner, you get a lot of calls, or you'll get more calls, and you can start demanding more money. Just depends on your client. I always want to fit the budget of a client. If I know they really need the help, I'll somehow make that work for them. But a good thing to do, which I did this week because I knew this question was going to be asked, is that I probably went to 5 different websites, and a lot of feng shui consultants give their pricing there. So I went to one website, Open Spaces was the website. She's in New York, and she charges $549 for an efficiency apartment, and it just goes on up. Another website, they charge by the hour. Feng Shui With Me was that website. A one-hour consult was $279. A two-hour consult was $399, and a four-hour consult was $649. So there, just study what other feng shui practitioners charge. So I offer really two basic styles, one for $350, but that's going to go up because the market is better now. And the other one is a traditional feng shui consultation, which would involve a written report. I would get at least $2,000 for that. And that's up to the client if they would like to do that. But that's at least a three-part involving three visits.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, and the visits, so, if it's a three-visit consult, typically how much time would you be spending at each visit?
Well, the first visit is the longest because that's when I, you know, go over the questionnaire, take photographs at their house, spend at least 2 to 3 hours with the client then. And then after that, I will prepare. This is when I'm going to do a report. I examine the photos. I write the report. And then I deliver the report and present it to them at their house, and we'll go through the home with them so they understand everything that has to be done. And usually, Catherine, during that first visit, I like to make a couple of changes so they can experience what it feels like. And that's usually a very successful thing for them to do, to experience that. Because showing is better than telling. And then the third visit is really meant to hold them responsible for making the changes. Because as much money as some people might spend, I don't think any of you are surprised that they're not going to do every single thing that you recommend. And I never tell them they have to do every single thing. I just tell them the more changes they make, the better chance of success. And Catherine has a wonderful question. Catherine, if you could share that, what you ask of all your clients of the success question. I love that, and I've incorporated that into my questionnaire now. But that's basically how I do a longer type of over 3 to 6 months type of consultations. I probably do two of those a year.
And just before you start, Catherine, if anyone is in here that's doing a consultation where they have to drive more than 30 mile radius, you make that you got to charge for gas, or you're not making any money. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to charge. I quote travel time all the time. So I charge $50 an hour for travel time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's fair because of the wear and tear on your car, the fact that you're probably, if you're driving far enough where you have to charge for your travel time, you got to eat sometime. And, you know, who knows? It takes up your whole day traveling there during the consultation, traveling back. Janet lives kind of in a rural part of Maryland, and you drive away to even to teach.
Yes, I do. At
the community, she teaches at the community college, and a lot of her courses are not just computer courses, but she has taught feng shui and some other classes. So different lines of income, different streams of income. But okay, Catherine, you were saying.
A couple of things. Firstly, to share the question that I learned from another practitioner was, how will you know this feng shui consultation was successful? So I'm really focusing them on I want them to begin to visualize and imagine what the outcome is going to be. And then we're all clear, right? If they, you know, aside from doing the three wishes, I want to know, you know, how are we going to hit the mark here? And
I just love that, Catherine.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll have to thank whoever taught me it, but And then, in terms of travel time, what I've done. I don't call it travel time because I don't, you know, some people get irked. I know when the plumber comes or whatever and they go travel time. I just offer an on-site is X number of dollars, and if we do by phone, it's whatever, X minus something. So they can see, but it's bundled. It's not broken out, you know. So if it's a 1 hour in person, it's X, and if it's a 1 hour by phone, it's Y. So they can draw their own conclusions, but instead of breaking it out as travel time. I don't like to bring up anything that's going to, and I'm saying, well, it only takes me 20 minutes. Well, it took me 40. You know, like, I just don't want to get into any extraneous stuff.
Yeah,
I got behind that. Yeah, I was behind that garbage truck again.
A good point, and that's an excellent question. That's an excellent question.
This is Diane. I have a question on that.
Sure. Yeah.
If you're doing a report, you don't always do a report, right? A written report.
Well, sometimes I do, but I have this little app on my phone, and it's called Anchor, A-N-C-H-O-R, like a anchor that keeps a boat from floating away. And there's another one. I will also give you the links to those. And I record on my phone what I want them to do, and then I just email it to them right from my phone.
Good idea.
Okay, that's good.
It saves you a lot of time in writing the report.
Well, and that was my question.
Yeah.
If you charge
a written report.
Yeah. I mean, how much more would you charge if you're writing a report?
Sylvia will match my comment here. When we first started writing, it took us 6 weeks to write our report because we were so meticulous about doing research because we wanted to learn, why are we telling them this? So we would never make back what we put into it. But it was the one thing that taught us so much and got us so deep into the topic because we had Diane Ackerman's Natural History of the Census book open. Anything that had to do with Christopher Alexander about building, anything about gardening. We were both of us at separate offices would research and write, and the report might be 20 pages long by the time we got it, but we got it.
So may I interject that when I first started doing reports, the clients that wanted a report, I did the reports, but I also did their shopping. Not going to the store literally and shopping for stuff, but researching ideas and the types of furniture that they needed to have in their home because either they didn't have a lot, and also the paint colors. And so I went through a lot of that research also. I'm sure you all did too.
Yes. And speaking of research, I did a very in-depth research on ergonomics in the seating and whether it be at the kitchen table or in where they sit to watch TV or anything. And I found out so much information that can help clients that are constantly suffering from backache, hip misalignment, indigestion. All of that is actually included in the ergonomic research that I did that causes people to eventually have long-term problems, medical problems. It's all because of their furniture not fitting them. It's amazing. So that is in the advanced part of the scientific information that's in the school. So if the alumni that are on the phone probably didn't get that with Nancy Lee, I added it after I bought the school. So that is a course that you can access. So
that brings up another point. So people who are alum have access to this updated information?
Yes, you will.
Okay.
I was going to set up a particular separate course and charge students, but I don't think I want to do that right now. I want to bring the flock back in, and that's the way I'm going to do it, by offering these courses for free. But eventually they're going to, So they will be for the next year probably till I get everybody back in. And then after that, they're going to be closed off to anybody else, and they have to pay for it in the course. So, there's quite a few I've been working on that I want to just let everybody know. So, which means you'll have to get into the platform, and you'll see how it works. So, and if you haven't signed up for the weekly tips or the free content library, please do so, because there's going to be a lot of information on there. The free content library is public, and so are the free tips. But then there's going to be a separate one for students and alumni that the students already will have access. Alumni will have to become a member under alumni. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in a related question, Jamie had asked, what's the deliverable for your consult? What do people generally deliver?
That's a good question.
Connie, jump right in here and just say two things about the consultation report. If I'm going to do a one-time visit, I will give that client the recommendations on the spot, and we actually start making the changes right there and then. And I follow up with a 10-point tip list or a summary of everything that I've said. So they will read 10 bullet points. And then if it's a consultation that involves a report, I no longer do narratives because they won't read it. And I take each room and I just do bullet points under each room for what I want them to do. And then I use blueprint drawings. You know how you use the couch symbol, the chair symbol, and put it within a room as to the recommendations I want. That I can do the consultation reports quicker that way, and it's much easier for the client to read, and they'll call me back and ask me questions from it. So the narratives just don't work. It takes a long time for me to write them, and I don't know if the client really sits and reads everything. Bullet points work really well. I take, instead of, as Connie was saying, we took so much time researching and educating the client in the reports. They don't want the education in the report. That first time visit, that's when I'll spend a little time educating them about feng shui and give them a handout or recommend one of our books.
Yeah, and not only that, they pretty much have read every book on the market, whether they're right or wrong or it's, you know, it's there. So it's almost, why even put it in a course, because it's all out there in the book.
Okay.
On the shelf.
So this Sylvia, this is for the non-report. This is the simpler $350 2-hour consult. You'll give make the changes right then and there, give a 10-point tip list, and a summary, a bullet point summary for each room using the blueprint.
No, I really don't do it for each room, Catherine. Not for the not for the one-time visit. And I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear.
Oh, okay.
So for a one-time visit, I do the changes while I'm there. And then I'll follow up with a 10-point summary that might include a couple more recommendations that I didn't mention at the home visit.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's only when I do the full scale consultation where I'm writing a report. That's where I'll break it down room by room. But I make the recommendations just with bullet points. It could be 10 pages long, but it also has some blueprint inserted in there.
Okay.
And Sylvia, you should probably tell them, where do you get your blueprint furniture? Where do you find it?
I'm sure there's a quicker way to do it, but I've trained myself to use clip art and move it around. I just draw a square, and you'll find the symbol for a couch, a chair, a table, a lamp. It's very easy. That's all they want to see. Where do I put the couch? Where do I put the chair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Sylvia, there's a lot of free programs out there right now that you can download and learn how to use.
Would you be kind enough to send that to me so I can put it on the school group Facebook? If you have them handy, I mean, you don't have to do it like tomorrow, but I'll add them as they come. Or you put it on if you would, because you're on there.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hey, Catherine. Don't talk to Jamie.
I use my permitted methods because I can do it so fast.
Well, yeah, you'll find everybody will have everybody will perfect something that they do quite well to be proficient. So there was a question in here, Kath, and I wanted to make sure that got answered. Maybe it was had something
Connie,
to do.
Connie, before you go down a different path, I was just wondering if I could expand a little bit upon this original question that I had asked.
Sure.
Just, I don't want to take up too much time because I'm sure we have other questions, but I think the question that I had originally asked stemmed from this sometimes difficult position that I think that new alums and new practitioners walk into, because you're not necessarily experienced or skilled enough to feel confident, whether you might have the knowledge to do it or not. You don't necessarily feel confident enough to make recommendations on the spot and feel like, oh, that was the right thing to say, because, you know, I think we do want to go home and research and make sure that we're giving the best advice. But at the same time, what I'm finding when I do a lot of the consultations now is that, A, I totally agree with Sylvia. People do not want reports. They just don't even want to read them. And they do want, you know, they give you kind of strict parameters to work in. And I think it's a little challenging knowing exactly what to do as maybe more of an inexperienced practitioner. Like how to go about this? Like how do we evolve this for today's day and age?
I have the perfect answer for you. Yes, I have the perfect answer. Even now, after 20 some years of doing this, I have misgivings sometimes after I make a recommendation. And all you have to do, like I've told everybody, you will not kill anybody when you give the wrong recommendation or it just wasn't the appropriate one. You just pick up the phone and you call the client and you say, you know, I have been thinking about what we talked about, and I know I told you to do this, but I did a little bit of research, and I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to do this instead. And they love it.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a problem with it. And this is why I want you to do this.
So, this is Janet. May I add to that also? When I finished school to really get certified at that time, you had to do 3 feng shui consultations basically for free. And Nancy Lee was my mentor. And I remember calling her about, it was a friend of mine, and I did a consultation. It was horrible. I mean, the consultation was good, but the dynamics of the house was horrible. And when I brought her back the report, she's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And so I was devastated. And I called Nancy Lee, and I'm like, she doesn't want to take any of my suggestions. And there was a horrible situation going on in her home. And Nancy Lee told me this, and I'll never forget it. It's like you're the doctor, but you're not. But you write the prescription. You cannot make the person go and fill it.
That's
and
exactly
that
right.
has helped me throughout my career.
Yeah, you can't please everybody. And she just
so all you newbies, you know, don't get devastated or, you know, if they don't follow what you suggest, they don't follow what you suggest.
Yeah, as long as you got your money, go.
Well, that was a freebie.
I think Jamie brings up a good point, though, is that we educate you, you have the knowledge, you get some clients, you want to do the consultation, but going about how do I remember when Connie and I went for our first real consultation, we were kind of in the spot Jamie was. Where do we start first? And Connie, do you remember that Nancy Lee had somewhat of a guideline? She gave us a chart how to use each room to evaluate the elements, the yin-yang balance, the function of the room. And Jamie, that helped me tremendously when I first started. At least we could work with the basics, and you can never go wrong by
right.
following those basics
yeah.
to start
and,
out with.
Yeah, and I think she took some of that stuff out before I even got the most updated manuals, but I think that's something that needs to be put back in.
Yeah,
that would be very helpful.
I have some of the old manuals. I'll see if I can find that.
Yeah, because I do find it's overwhelming, right? And I'm sure you all can relate, is when you walk into a space, you've got the person standing next to you, right, who's it's their home, and they have a lot of emotion tied into their environment. And you're also kind of being hit with all the stimulus of being in a space. And as feng shui practitioners, we're obviously very sensitive to our environment. So there's just a lot going on, I think, from an energetic perspective, certainly in my own brain, there's a lot of processing. And it's, and I'm sure you get more skilled doing this, but when you're just starting, or even if you've been doing it for a little bit, but, you know, every place is different, I think it's nice to have, like, a simple guideline in your head of, like, okay, let's start with A, B, C,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you
mm-hmm.
can't go wrong doing these things. And then
mm-hmm.
when, if you want to get a little fancier, you want to get a little, like, more advanced, we can talk about, you know, whatever the next step is. But I think that's kind of where I get a little tripped up. And part of that is, I think, is kind of tied up in how you're delivering, what you're delivering,
mm-hmm.
and the best way to kind of present everything.
Yeah.
So
and
that's
Jamie,
where I'm coming from.
Yeah, the best advice I can give you is make it comfortable for you. You will find your rhythm
mm-hmm.
and do it the
mm-hmm.
way it
right.
makes it comfortable for you. Because everybody,
right. which is,
when Sylvia and I worked together, we had different ideas. And we got to the point where our rhythm was, when we went together on a consult, because that's how we learn together. One of us would be asking the questions. The other one would be walking around taking pictures and making notes. And then we would merge after the consult and after
mm-hmm.
the visit and put all our notes together. When you're working alone, you can't do that unless you have somebody
right.
in the same vicinity. So
right.
Make it work for you and the rhythm that you know works best for you. Everybody has their own rhythm. We had been in business, I mean, by the time we met, we'd both been in business already, 15, 20 years, and we just picked up the ball and started running with it and worked the way we were used to working with it.
Well,
so,
I think what we need to focus on is some people haven't been in business for a long time, and they really want to succeed or at all, and they really want to succeed in this business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just knowing that we need to, the school needs to provide that basic consultation kind of outline, Connie, that I think that would help someone like Jamie. Jamie, I've seen your consultation reports that you did during your certification, and they were excellent. So there is a way to make them shorter, and you're right. You do have to have some experience before you can start making on-the-spot recommendations. But I tell you this. If you're not going to make the recommendations on the spot and you're going to follow it up with a report, leave them with something, even one recommendation before you leave. And I would suggest the four-corner tip. So what I mean by the four-corner tip is that's something that I look at in every consultation, and that is in order for good flow to exist in a room, I do an analogy between what do you associate good health in your body? Well, you want good energy flow. You want good blood flow. You don't want any blockages. It's the same thing with the health of a room. So I look to the four corners, and it amazes me how many clients will have something in every corner, in all four corners, and sometimes a lot. So when I observe that, I said, let's free up the blockage in this room by looking at your four corners. And you can make that observation and recommendation right there. And they like hearing that. That's something you can leave them with. If you can't leave them with, you know, other recommendations on the spot, it kind of
right.
gets them excited about how that might feel. And I say, do you feel how different it feels in the room? And they'll, and I feel it. I'm very sensitive to that. And they say, yeah, I can. So practice that with a friend.
Yeah.
Go into their home and see how that works for you. Or even, you know, you could go in. Remember, Jamie used to go into different facilities and buildings and kind of mm-hmm. analyze it. Go into some place and see how that, imagine, man, if they take this out of the corner, what would that feel like? So I call
right,
it the
right.
four-corner tip.
That's a good one. That's good. That's good.
And Sylvia, this is Janet, Sylvia. That's I want to follow up with Sylvia if I can. That's very interesting because in my living room, my four corners, I'm a big plant person, big nature person. And in my living room, my four corners have plants except for one right now. It gets moved over in the winter. It gets moved over to the center of the back wall during the summer. But that's very interesting. It's not clutter. It's my
no.
plant that I love and adore and some lighting.
Yeah.
So when you say that, are you looking at their four corners that there's clutter or that there is?
Is there
Mine's nature. Mine's nature growing.
You know, I'm not going to tell you what's right or wrong, but personally what I have found is it doesn't matter what it is. If all four corners have something in it, it impedes some of the flow in the room. Now, in rare situations where they can't move something in the four corners, maybe it's they're staying with a relative or they're renting, whatever the situation, I'll ask them to move it away from the wall so that at least the energy flow can get behind it so that you bring it out somewhat from the four corners. But if you if you can, I always ask them to free up one of those corners.
Okay. Interesting.
Try it, Janet. just try it. And,
okay. Yeah. So that's it. That's exactly what I was saying at the top of the call, mm-hmm. that, you know, there's, like, really no beginner questions because we all have questions,
mm-hmm.
and we can all learn. So we've been on the call for an hour.
We have.
It's was that the expectation that it would be an hour?
Yeah, it would be an hour because it's
okay.
You don't want to sit and listen an hour and a half. But I will before we close, I want to just follow up with one thing regarding when you get into a house where somebody's just moved in and they want you to feng shui it. I get so many requests like that. You can't, if you go there and you see nothing on the walls, the furniture is sparse, nothing. I don't know how you can feng shui it. In terms of to make it feel good if they don't have anything in it. Just know that you can always come back. But there is another option very quickly. Instead of asking them or you want to have the house feng shui so it feels okay, but ask the question that Catherine posed, what do you want to happen with this? That will, I think, when you said that, Catherine, I thought, there it is. There's the question. That's the best question to ask. That I get a lot of requests for people just moving into a house. They want to buy new furniture. You can't make a determination. You can't read the space. There's nothing to read except the person who, unless you ask specific questions of, you know, what is your expectation with this consultation? You don't know what to do. So that'll help you there. So with that, I agree, Catherine. We have lots of other questions. Rose had quite a few, and Barbara had some good ones. Barbara Brisky was not able to get on the call unless she's on now. But she's an interior designer in Texas, and she wants to talk about measuring the electromagnetic field and some other things. So I'd like to continue our next call so we can finish our business questions. And if you have any other new ones.
Yeah, there are, we still have other questions, so we'll table them for our next call. And I thank everybody for being here and for their contributions. And it's been very, very super rich and rewarding for me. I hope the same for everybody on the call and the people who will be listening to the call. And I look forward to the next one. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.